Hey everyone, welcome back to the Retro Break podcast. This is episode 34, and I wanted to make this one while it was fresh in my mind, but I just finished the incredible game Finding Paradise, and it has really left a lasting impression on me. I can't stop thinking about it 2 weeks after I completed the game now, so I wanted to come here today and share my thoughts on what was an incredible game, an incredible experience, and also why I kind of want to get back into making narrative-driven games, and what they mean to me, and what I hope they mean to other people too. So there's a lot to get into, there's a lot to sort of unpack in my head as I'm going through this, but the main thing was Finding Paradise was an absolute masterpiece, and I highly recommend it to anyone who enjoys story-driven games, and of course the prequel as well, To the Moon. Play that one first, and then go and play Finding Paradise, and then you'll understand just why this game means so much to me. I was not prepared for how much this emotionally touched me. Even all this time later, I'm almost welling up just thinking about the game. And don't worry for anyone who hasn't played it, this is going to be spoiler-free, but there are a few kind of themes that I really enjoy with the game that I'll try and touch on briefly without really spoiling anything. And it got me thinking back to some of my favourite narrative-driven story games, and also the fact that I actually studied this back at uni in narratology, and my entire final year project was actually based on the prequel to Finding Paradise called To the Moon. So I've got a lot that I want to cover in this episode, so let's get right into it. So first of all, without any spoilers, I have to say that I think Finding Paradise is going to stay with me for a long time. It was such an intricately told tale, and there were so many different plot lines that all converge at the end, and it was just an absolute masterpiece. And it's been about 2 weeks since I completed the game, and I can't stop thinking about it 2 whole weeks later. Honestly, the whole storyline with Colin and Faye, and the amazing twist in the middle, and all of the sort of human elements to that story, like trusting in your own mind, not dwelling too much on the past and the changes that you want to make. It was just such a well-told story, and there's so many life lessons in there. I honestly think I'm going to grow as a person thanks to playing this game, and I really can't wait to play Imposter Factory after this. And I know that I'm very late to playing Finding Paradise. In fact, I did actually buy it and download it 5 years ago when it did come out, and I only managed to get around to playing it the other day thanks to the ROG Ally, because I could actually play it in bed. So hopefully it's not another 5 years until I get around to playing Imposter Factory. But basically, it got me thinking back to when I first experienced To the Moon about 10 years earlier, or longer than that, actually. I'm not sure when exactly it came out, but it came out in my last year of uni, and I'd actually been part of the Freebird Games forum before that as well, because I'd been making my own stuff in RPG Maker. And there was 2 games that I was playing while I was developing my game. One of them was a game called Quintessence, The Blighted Venom, which is the game that Kangai made before To the Moon, but it never actually got finished. And the other game was a game called Melaloon, which is what Laura Shigihara was making, and I was also part of her forums over in the Super Shigi forums, I think it was called at the time. Neither of those forums exist today, unfortunately, and it's really sad because I wanted to go back and have a look at some of the posts that I'd made around the time, because when I was working on my game in RPG Maker, I was actually uploading demos of the games over on both of those forums to get feedback from the community. And it's so sad that all of that has been lost to time because they decided to move over to Discord. And I really do think that Discord ruined forums and the internet to some extent. Even though I've got my own one and I do enjoy talking to people over there, I do really miss the less immediate reactions on a forum. You could actually spend a bit longer thinking about your response and actually writing good quality detailed responses rather than just like a text message back and forth. So it is very sad the way the internet's going. Anyway, I've gone completely off topic. Let's get back onto the topic of story-driven games. So like I said, I was big into narrative in games. In fact, my favourite lessons at uni were all about narratology. I really enjoyed... there was something before that, actually, where we had to study stories with multiple choices. So I actually went and made a really long-winded choose your own adventure on something called Inkhorn Writer. And that game you can actually play over on my itch.io page. It was called Endless Snow, I believe. And I was actually really proud of how it came out, basically. Depending on how well you chose your path through the game, you would actually get judged at the end of it and you'd get a score. And again, that was something that I sent out on those forums and people played it and told me how far they got in there and stuff as well. So I really enjoyed that. But the main thing was that after I played To the Moon the year after, I decided to focus entirely on story-driven games for my final year project at uni. I did actually cover this in more detail last year in part two of my game dev journey on the podcast, but basically I put all of my effort in the final year of uni into this massive project that I was making called Quantum Shift, and I took heavy inspiration from To the Moon, and I came up with really intricate backstories to all the characters. I created this like 15 to 20 minute demo in RPG Maker using the forums over there to get feedback and stuff. But the reason that I chose to do all that in the first place was just because of how much To the Moon meant to me after I'd first played it. I still remember now, I stayed up all night. I think I played it all in one go anyway, and I started it at around midnight after everyone else in the house had gone to bed, because obviously at uni you always share a house with housemates, and of course I was busy all day every day playing around with them and not actually doing much work, which is what I was supposed to be doing. But anyway, beside the point again, the point is that after everyone had gone to bed, I got my laptop out and I downloaded To the Moon because I was very excited. I'd been following the development of it for years before that, and I played it all the way through non-stop in the dark, in bed, wrapped up in the blanket with the laptop, and by the time I got to the end of that game, I was just in floods of tears. I had never played anything that emotionally touching, something that resonated with me on such a deep level before. Not just in games, but in any form of media, honestly. I think the closest thing that I'd experienced to that before then was either watching Clannad for the first time or the Studio Ghibli movie Whisper of the Heart, which is still one of my favourite films of all time, and that has such a really nice message that resonates with me as well. But To the Moon really opened my eyes to what was possible with narrative in games. Obviously, the graphics aren't great, and obviously it's made in RPG Maker XP, which even at the time was a 10 plus year old game engine. And it just goes to show that you don't need the highest tech, you don't need the best frame rate, you don't need the best graphics. All you need is a believable world, I believe. Believable world, believable and interesting characters, and an engrossing storyline if you want to make a story-driven game. It also goes to show why things like Undertale are so popular as well. And RPG Maker XP is still the engine that a lot of people go to make story-driven games today. Even though there's been multiple different RPG Maker engines since then. There's MX, MV, there's some more new ones out there now as well. But XP is always the one that people end up going back to. And that was the one that I chose to do my Quantum Shift project in as well. And there is something about that engine that really stands the test of time compared to everything else. And I'm not really sure where I want to go with this. I would love to try and make another story-driven game, or maybe expand upon some of the ideas that I had with Quantum Shift. And I've been looking into Godot as well. I've been doing some game maker tutorials over there, and I've been trying to look into doing a top-down action RPG style game. So maybe I'll try and do something along those lines, because another one of my favourite narrative games is, of course, Illusion of Time. If you've been watching my channel for a while, you'll know that that is my number one favourite game of all time, and it probably always will be. And that is sort of a story-driven game. I guess half of it could be classed as just a simple narrative game, and then the other half is dungeons and exploring and a bit of puzzle solving, light puzzle solving. So I kind of want to try and make something like that, but I've got so many ideas for story-driven games that I want to make myself. Of course, I would love to try and expand on some of the concepts from Quantum Shift in terms of time travel and rewriting the past and, you know, saving people's lives and stuff by going back and changing how events occurred in the past. That is something that I've always kind of had in the back of my mind, and I would love to try and expand on that concept some more. There is something else that I've been thinking about over and over for the past like 5 or 6 years, and that is kind of a more down-to-earth story that would focus on a few different characters' lives while this town is changing around them. And you could be able to go back and forth through the history of this town and see how things changed over time and connect the dots between different families and things. I haven't really fleshed out the concept that much, but I've got some stuff written down for that. And of course, I've got loads of other things written down as well. I would also love to do something more exploration-focused, like a worldwide journey, kind of relating back to my love of Illusion of Time and Illusion of Gaia, that sort of exploratory time where you're just going around the world, finding different mysteries of different ancient civilizations and things like that. So I have a load of sort of high-level plans floating around in my head, but there's nothing concrete yet. But think of this as a kind of very high level sneak peek as to what might potentially come in the future. I do have loads of notes written down, but obviously I'm not going to share all of them right here. But there are things I'm working on in the background, and I really do hope that one day I can make something as emotionally connective to people as something like Finding Paradise is to me. It honestly is a lifelong dream of mine to be able to do something like that and to get the sort of feedback that Cannes been getting for the Sigmund Corp series. It really is something very special. Yeah, I just can't stop thinking about Finding Paradise, honestly, and that is the whole reason I wanted to make this podcast. And the music in that game as well was just incredible. And that is something else that I know I've got way too many projects going on at the minute, but there is one other thing that's been floating around in my mind since I played that game, and that is that I want to start learning the piano or keyboard. There's just so many incredible tunes in that game, and I want to make something that resonates emotionally like that. So if I do ever make a game myself, I would love to try and do the soundtrack as well. And a few months ago, or maybe about a year ago now actually, someone in my Discord was helping me learn Ableton Live as well, which is like a music DAW software creation thing for music. So I would love to try and get more into that in the future as well. I think it'd be nice to do something for once that isn't programming or video related. So maybe music's an avenue that I can go and check out in the future. One of the characters that really resonated with me in Finding Paradise was called Faye. So I just want to take a little bit of time in the middle of this podcast here to let you listen to her piano theme. I just really want to be able to play this myself. Honestly, I'm kind of scared of playing Imposter Factory now because of just how emotionally draining Finding Paradise was. I was not prepared for that ending, and I spent the entire next day just thinking about it and researching what it means over on Reddit and stuff and all the different fan theories. And then I watched Can Gao's interview with an RPG Maker community about how he came up with the ideas for it. And then there was another interview that I watched of his answering questions from his Discord server and how he comes up with the ideas for all the stories and things. And yeah, since then, I've just become completely obsessed with everything related to that game and all of the themes that it touched on as well, like I mentioned earlier, without any spoilers. So I highly recommend playing both Finding Paradise and To the Moon as well if you enjoy those kind of games. And even if you don't, I think it's definitely worth checking out, and maybe you'll actually find a new genre that you really enjoy. And the good news is that they're both available on the Switch as well now. And because of how much Finding Paradise left an impact on me, I'm kind of scared of playing Imposter Factory. Even though it's only a 4-hour game, I know that mentally and emotionally, it's going to take up a lot more time than that. And, oh my god, at the end of Finding Paradise, again, no spoilers because this is freely available on YouTube, but as soon as Laura Shigihara started speaking, I could just feel myself welling up inside. And I was actually kind of grateful that my girlfriend was sat next to me looking at memes on her phone, because it kind of grounded me back in reality. But once I heard Laura's words and the visuals that were going along with it, I just mentally broke down. I just couldn't contain myself anymore. And I would love to try and give that experience to other people as well. Just complete emotional satisfaction at the end of an amazing story like that. Honestly, just listen to this song by Laura Shigihara and just enjoy the lyrics, even though they might not make entirely that much sense to you at the minute. But once you finish the game, come back and listen to it again. And I'll put links in the description to some of these songs that I'm sharing in this podcast as well, because they are just amazing.
I never stood up very tall. I think my voice was fairly small. But there were times I'd want to shout, though my thoughts weren't sorted out. So I'd stumble and I'd fall. I learned to fly because of you. So if you left, I could go too. And everything you saw in me, that's what I wanted to be. Did I make it after all the grass on the other side? Is it only greener in my mind? I'd still want it the same, because trading is to wish my life away. As we dream and as we grow, we have to learn to let things go. Wonder never fade, though we've turned 10,000 pages, flying high or stuck below. I've searched for meaning amidst doubt. I finally figured that part out. And all the stories inside me, feels like I'm bursting at the seams. And you're here after all the grass on the other side. Is it only greener in my mind? I'd still want it the same, because trading my yes yesterday is to wish my life away.
So a bit of a different podcast this week, but thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the music as well. Music is a big part of these games for me. And hopefully one day I can reciprocate my feelings and share my own game in this vein. Who knows when that will be, but it is a long-term project of mine. So although I haven't actually played Imposter Factory yet, I've been listening to this one song over and over again while I've been working over the past few days. It's called The Great Wide Unknown, and it was made by P-Leaf as a bonus track for the soundtrack soundtrack. And I'm really wondering in my head now whether any of the lyrics in this song relate to anything in the game. So I'll leave the podcast here and you can listen to this incredible song. And there's also piano covers. There's a live cover as well if you're interested. So go and check it out over on YouTube after. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and enjoy this song, The Great Wide Unknown.
There are things we'll never know. Wished I could find a way to live like this forever. But there's a burning in my soul. And these days it burns brighter than ever. You tell me it'll all be okay. Wish I could push it all aside and savor every moment instead of counting down the days, waiting for the current to pull me out from under. These doors were never mine to chase. I'll chase them anyway. Take me to a land far away. This path was never mine to take. Was my fate set in stone, or just one thread in the great white unknown? I still recall every word you said. I dream of lavender fields back when it all felt so real. And even though you're gone, it still reminds me these doors were never mine to chase. I'll chase them anyway. Take me to a land far away. This path was never mine to take. Was my fate set in stone, or just one thread in the great white unknown? Never mind to take. My fate was set in stone. I'll set my sights to the great wide unknown. The great wide unknown. I'll set my sights to the great wide unknown.